holding on, maybe? We don't have internet, so I thought I could do it with this. So I think we're just going to have to go ahead.
But we're recording.
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay, sounds good. All right, thank you. Okay, so good afternoon. Welcome to the February 9th, 2023 Environmental Advisory Committee meeting. It is a little after 4 o'clock, and I'd like to call the meeting to order and to acknowledge that the press and the public have been duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. So our first item on the agenda is approval of previous meeting minutes, and that was January 12th, 2023. Were there any additions or correction to the minutes? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to say something. In item 2, section 2, it says Mr. Kanaka. He's got a medical degree. I think we should call him Dr. Kanaka.
Okay.
Is he old enough?
I don't know. We ought to see his diploma. He worked hard.
He's gracious of you.
He did comment and say that he's not going to answer any medical questions.
Are there any other corrections or additions to the minutes? I had a couple of things. One was item number 4, where we had a presentation about smart recycling. At the end of that section on the first page of the minutes, it talks about the committee suggested that bins be placed in the municipal lot behind the public safety building and moving the glass recycling bins to the same location. And I believe that we talked about later, I can't remember if it was at the same time or when we talked about Fisher Recycling, moving bins to the Carmen Park. And I couldn't find that anywhere in the minutes that we were going to move both the smart recycling compost bins as well as the glass recycling bins to Carmen Park.
All right.
And then I think there was one more thing I had. Yes, under the motion for Doug Hatler, it talks about two bins at two locations. And I know we talked about one location being the Carmen Park, but I believe this, is it called Carmen Bunch?
Carmen Bunch.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Carmen Bunch Park. The second location, was that going to be at the Marina?
Where it currently is. Yeah, where the other one currently is.
So I was wondering if we could include that in the minutes so we have that recorded.
You want the second location noted as it being at the Marina since?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I have one correction too.
Okay.
It said, Mr. Hatler said it will secure a speaker for March meeting to address concerns of the PFAS.
All right.
Not to be too semantic, PFOS is actually one of the compounds that falls under the category of PFAS, but PFAS is the general term.
All right.
Are there any other corrections or additions to the minutes? Would anyone like to make a motion to accept the minutes as amended?
I move that we approve the minutes as amended from the January meeting.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the minutes are accepted. Next, we have citizen comments, and we have Susan Hill-Smith and Laura Rust, who are going to be talking with us a little bit about the Marine Mammal Protection Act and some of the signage that is related to that.
Hi, Susan Smith, 2023rd Avenue, resident of Isle of Palms and co-founder of the Isle of Palms Cleanup Crew. So. It's great to see all you guys, and thank you so much for all the wonderful work that you've been doing through the years since I last saw you. I am actually here just to be a connector. I'm hoping to come back next month to give you a good report from Isle of Palms Cleanup Crew, but today I'm really just here because Lauren Rust had reached out from the Lowcountry Marine Mammal Network with an offer or are looking for places for these signs that they actually have already constructed, but that they're trying to find a home for, that can give great educational information about dolphins and stranding and strand feeding. And the tax is actually still not set yet, so it's adjustable. And she can tell you more. I believe that the original plan was to give them to Kiowa, and that didn't work out. So they're looking for another place for them, and I think that is a great opportunity for us. I would encourage, I think there's two sets that, or it's a pretty big, substantial sign with three sides. And there's two of them, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And I was, when we were talking, I think some great opportunities would be to have it at Breach Inlet and then also at the marina. I haven't had a chance to reach out to the marina operator yet, so I'm not sure, but I'm hopeful that they would be interested. And otherwise, I will let Lauren come and introduce herself and speak about the signs in more detail.
Thank you. Hi, thank you. So I'm Lauren Russ, director of a nonprofit, Low Country Marine Mammal Network. We do a combination of education outreach and stranding response, and Mary Pringle is one of our best volunteers. that's for, you know, any dolphin or whale that might strand on your beach or any beach in South Carolina we respond to. So we've been working with NOAA Fisheries to create these signs. They came out of a pot of money that they had at the end of, probably over a year ago now, to create educational signs. And so they've been constructed. They've actually already been used in Florida, and so they are hurricane proof, sun proof, and wind proof, which is really nice. It's a it's a three-sided sign. They sit at about probably 6 feet tall when they're actually buried. They can be buried in the sand or the cement. So the construction of the sign is, they're aluminum, they're already built, so that design can't be changed. And all of this is no cost to the town, the construction or the setup. And then the signs are like a thin metal, it's basically a three-sided sign. There's a top portion and a small portion. And hopefully we can get these images to you, this is a little last minute, we can get these images to you at some point. So the text, we created a text just for imaging, and like I said, Susan said, these were originally created for Kiowa, but location-wise, with some changes they were making, we couldn't place them there. So the text can be adjusted if there are interests of the town to add things like turtles or possibly birds. Right now the text talks mostly about marine mammals, that they're protected. There's a section on strand feeding. There's a section on stranded dolphins, which is definitely something you guys see on the island. Who to call if you would come across a stranded marine mammal. And I think there's a little bit, I think, about just sort of our work. And like I said, the text can go through the town and we can totally get approval and get that adjusted if there are more pressing issues. I mean, we're going to keep, a lot of it needs to be kept with the dolphins, but certainly opportunity for turtle information and or we'd be open to bird information. So Susan suggested Breach Inlet, which I think is a great spot because the dolphins do strand feed at that location. And something we do on Kiowa a lot is we educate a lot at that site, and we're starting to monitor Breach Inlet because there's a lot of human interactions. So things like people, you know, running up, letting their dogs approach, touching, throwing stuff at them, jumping in the water. Seems crazy, but we've seen all of that. And so I think this would be a good site in that there's not a lot of signage. We don't have, you know, there's not a lot of monitoring going on. So that's a great option. And then, as well as the marina, I think would be a great spot in that there's a lot of boaters there. We do rely on boaters for a lot of our reports. You know, things like, you know, not chasing, you know, they are protected under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. So there's regulations on how close you can get from a boat and things like that. So I think those are great suggestions. We'd be open Like I said, they can be buried in cement or in the sand. And in Florida, they have already sustained 2 hurricanes, so they are hurricane proof. And like I said, windproof and sunproof as well. The panels are sunproof, I guess, from fading.
Lauren, yeah. Where are they placed in relation to the mean high tide line?
So the ones I know in Florida are sort of at a beach access, so they're just right off of a boardwalk. So I don't think that's an issue at the moment. If you're talking about Breach Inlet, I would consider it probably up near the path, possibly in the parking lot or some access point where people would see it. Those would be my suggestions.
Lauren,
hi.
Yeah. We can't do enough to help educate the guests to our lovely beaches, and particularly with our wildlife and natural resources. So, yay. One thing I've said before, and I want to point out again, is a matter of issue for our committee, is the fact that we've been working a lot on signage since this committee was formed. Amy has been our sign lady and done a great job. And our most recent signs, I think, are the shape of the turtle about turtles. Mm-hmm. So, all of it is very worthy, except my concern that I've said before is that we don't have so many signs that we're creating litter.
Right.
And I think until we see images of your proposed sign and how big they are and what they look like and how they fit in with all our other signage, we're going to have to, discuss it later.
Yeah.
But another couple of points that I thought in terms of location, in addition to the Breach Inlet, which is great, would also be perhaps down at somewhere midway.
Like,
I'm having a senior
like moment. Coconut Joe's, Windjammer.
Yes, yeah. Right, mm-hmm. Right around the public area, and maybe even either or the public parking
mm-hmm.
lot mm-hmm. would be good, because that's where a lot of our guests would be entering, accessing the beach. So, just a couple of thoughts.
Okay. Is that a county park?
Yeah.
Right. So that would be.
Is that a problem?
No. But would you decide on the county park? Because we've tried to go through a different. I was just curious who manages the county park.
People have to pay to go in the county park. I think she's talking about the public lot under the big water tower right there.
Oh, right. Sorry. Okay.
It's a little different. Well, it is right across the street from the county
yes.
park.
Yes. I was confused. Yeah.
We do have a sign from you at Breach Inlet that we worked together in 2019.
Yes,
there is a sign on our new wooden signs there that has the mammal with the dolphin and all the information on there. So there is one at Breach Inlet. It's August of 2019.
Yes.
Down there.
Can I ask if you looked at putting one on Thompson Park on Sullivan's Island side of Breach Inlet? That be.
We have not yet. That would probably be a good location as well. We do have the smaller sign on the Isle of Palm side. We'll consider it. So from Kiowa, we took this to Folly County Park, and they're having a whole other issue with loss of beach, unfortunately. And so we've had a lot of interest in the signs. It's finding a home, but yeah, we'll look at that location as well.
Would you mind if I just interjected something? In terms of the Coconut Joe's area, I think I brought up before that we were looking at turning that into a very education-oriented place, but with a kind of a different set of parameters, which is why I didn't. She actually had brought that suggestion up. And
it might be something that could be coordinated in terms of appearance and have.
It doesn't quite fit with what
I don't
we were
know the plans,
had in mind. Yeah, so just FYI, we had kind of a different plan for that area that will be educational, but I think different than these signs.
Could it include something about marine mammals? Your whatever.
Yes, but and more. Ours will be more of an overview, and then a lot of it around of different kinds of wildlife, and then directed ultimately towards the issue, the message of conservation and not polluting, and all of those kinds of things. Which some
lines.
Of that gets encouraged, but is a different kind of topic. Mm-hmm. And if it is very. If you haven't seen it, and I hope you'll get a chance to, because we have very detailed PDFs that I think can be shared with you all.
So is the three-sided aluminum sign, I have a picture, I think, Lauren, from you last week. Is that is the actual sign, isn't it?
That is not, that's the one from Florida.
Florida,
yes,
guy?
But it would look just
would
like
that.
Would that
work if I have this on my screen and plug this in? They go on.
And Douglas, there's also some PDFs with the text that show the text.
That kind of, that's the yeah. each individual side.
Yeah. Yeah.
There it is.
There it is. Okay. Yes. So there's like a top panel that's, you know, again, so this is the actual sign in Florida. The construction of the sign would be the same. Color could be changed, but the three-sided design is already created. And then the panels. So there's three large panels on either side, and then three smaller ones. And that's where the text is not finalized. I think a lot of it was sort of similar to what this is, and we've sort of placeholded some text, but that can be, you know, adjusted. You could have marine mammal information. You could have turtle information. You can have the top and then the bottom sections. There's an option for images. Yes, that is a sign.
Short burners.
Do they work?
Yeah.
Do they work? Short burners. Has there been any studies done to know whether?
That's a good question. You know, I know everybody goes back and forth. Too many signs. Do people read signs? I think these are eye-catching signs, so I do think it would draw. I mean, I can't say if there's been research done, but and I can ask my colleague who got these set up in Florida. I do think these are eye-catching. I think it could minimize signs, which is nice. If you know, had them somewhere and you didn't have a turtle sign and a bird sign and a dolphin sign, that is, you know, I think one positive, but I'm not sure if anyone's looked at that yet.
Does it all say at the top marine mammal information, or if we change that?
Yeah, so that everything, none of the content has been, like, printed yet.
Okay.
The actual structures are made. That's where we can't adjust that. Nothing has been printed, so yes, I think we could do, even if you wanted to do marine mammal, and maybe each side is different, or just as conservation information, we are open to adjusting the text, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful. When I look at this, it looks very busy and text heavy, and I think we've had conversations before about what kind of signs we can put up to educate the public, and we've already put up signs about sea turtles, and at some point, like, it just becomes ineffective. It's too much, and you're like, now you're just littering the access point of the beach. I mean, this you're talking about a couple for this, but maybe it'd be better to make a more generic, you know, wildlife thing where you might talk about the mammal life, you might talk about the shorebird, you might talk about the turtles, you know, and then have more pictures and things like that. But I think it's been one of my concerns: how many signs are we putting up, and how effective are they in our education efforts?
And then you made a comment. There's a lot of text. I mean, I think these would be more effective when you think about it, like PowerPoint, where, you know, minimum 5 to 7 lines, 3 to 5 words, you know, larger text, more pointed, direct.
Yeah.
Not as much, because the people are going to read it, The people are going to ignore it.
But yeah.
I think if we optimize the text, we can catch more of the people in the middle that won't read it if it wasn't too long.
No, that I totally agree, and I think Kiowa made that point too, but like I said, none of the text is, that can all be changed. We can add photos, diagrams, that none of that has been finalized.
It's flexible.
Yeah.
Lauren, tell me again, I think I heard you say something, that the cost to the city would be nothing?
Zero. Yes.
Make sure.
So this came through funding through NOAA for to do educational. Like I said, the signs are already created. And then they'll pay for the installation as well.
So the physical signs have been created, but the content of the each of the three sides is flexible and open to the island's wishes.
Yes.
Do I understand that correctly?
Yes. I mean, we could work together on content. Right. Yes. Yeah.
So I would just, you know, say that there has been, and you all have alluded to it, a very concerted effort to clean up the visual clutter of the signs. And here's the current sign, I think, that was built in an effort to do that. And I think the Protect the Wild Dolphin sign is the one that Amy was referencing.
That we had went back and forth in 2019 to add that to the Bridge Inlet sign.
So I would see this as kind of a judgment or guidance from you all as to which is the better policy. Is it to reduce visual clutter, try to keep them on one sign, or is it a better policy to try to get the word out more effectively? Because I mean, from my perspective, the sign that was shown clearly grabbed your attention more than this kind of bottom left quadrant, but at the same time, I think that was an intentional effort of prior administrations to minimize the visual clutter. So, can't tell you I know which is the right way, but I know that that's the balance that the city has. And we have, as been mentioned, we have added an additional sign already from these signs with the turtle sign. So we've kind of cleaned it up, got it down to a minimal single sign. And I think, you know, island-wide, we're talking about just two more, so I don't know how much visual clutter that can create if it's just two signs. But that's something that I think, you know, the group should be sensitive to and cognizant of.
My opinion is, since we've got this by the parking lot at Bridge Inlet, I like the idea of putting it out onto the beach, the free sign, out toward where they're strand feeding, because not only would the people coming from the parking lot see it, but the people coming from walking, a lot of people walk their dogs up the beach from farther, down the beach from farther north, mm-hmm. toward the inlet. And I think it would look better to have the three-sided sign out on the beach like the picture we saw in Florida than right there with the other sign. I think that would look cluttered, but that's just my opinion.
I agree with you.
So we have an opportunity under old business to talk about update on signs regarding beach rules. Do we want to talk about that more at that time?
Sure.
Under wildlife?
Yes. If you want to, well, on the list that Debbie and I drew up, it was, think about when we even got some signs from Audubon that the children had drawn, and we were wanting to put those near Bridge Inlet. Debbie has those. Educate people not to let their dogs chase resting and feeding birds. And this would work right in with that if we could have one of those small bottom ones down. I don't know. It might be cluttered to have a separate sign like that and the big one. But
dogs on a leash and turtles. I mean, there are a lot of signs. Yeah. But I like
right.
the kid.
But if we could put it all on the three-sided sign, that would solve the problem for our goal of putting signage up for the birds. Because a lot of birds rest and feed out there at the inlet, right where the dolphins strand feed. That's why I wanted to put the sign out there.
Yeah.
What do you think, Debbie?
If you don't mind, just one comment. I almost feel like this is a different category, that it should maybe more appropriately be referred to as a display, like an educational display. It's not quite the same apples to apples as some of the others, where you're like just giving messages about what we want you to do. It's more about educating.
Yeah,
about
it's more like a kiosk, an educational kiosk than a sign.
Still signs.
Yeah, still signs.
Are there any other questions for Lauren?
Lauren, do you know, so I guess when I did see the photo, it made me wonder about regulatory agencies, we deal with how kind of tightly wound they are about anything out on the ocean side of the primary dune. It looked like those signs were out on the kind of ocean side of the primary dune. Have you had any interaction with OCRM as to whether or not they would allow them, disallow them, if they have or?
We have not. I know okay. Susan brought that up, so that's something we'll have to look into.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that may, I mean, that may, Mary, if you were kind of visualizing what I think was shown on the Florida photo, it might put it back on, it might be that we have to put it kind of back of the landward, of the seaward dune, the primary dune. But that's a question we would if that's the route we chose, we definitely want to look into
and
that.
And the inlet does erode regularly.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Amy, I don't know. Can you switch back to my screen? So that's the line, that blue line.
Mm-hmm.
If we knew it was going to be on the Highland side of that blue line, we would know that that wouldn't be an issue. But anything seaward of that blue line, we would want to. Definitely verify that it wasn't a problem.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I think that's, Mary, that's, I mean, that's kind of in the, not really out on the beach, which I think you were talking about.
That house with the swimming pool, the fourth house from the bridge, you could do it there, and the blue line wouldn't interfere. And that's down where the dolphins feed anyway. They don't feed close to the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're saying so not right where you walk out, but actually around.
Yeah.
So
there's a spot there that might work.
You get.
That's also where the shorebirds.
Looking at the blue line. Yeah.
Pass down that sometime too.
Do you think there's enough foot traffic for it to be beneficial there?
I'll spend time at that area.
The other question, sort of related to that too, is will the resident of that home.
Yeah, I was gonna bring up those lines do technically extend to the high water line, so that area that we're seeing.
Don't some of those homeowners own to the high water line, and some don't.
They all go to the high water line.
Oh, they all.
So.
That's the lot lines.
Those are the lot lines, and ocean. The ocean side boundary is the mean high water line, so you see how it kind of bounces around.
It looks like the dead lines, right?
So it depends on when the survey got recorded, where the high water line was, but in the area you're describing, that would be private property. But the area at Breach Inlet that we're talking about. It's not city property, it is DOT property, but they've been agreeable to kind of whatever we wish to be on that path. So that would be an alternative if we could get it. We may have to get it landward of that blue line on the prior screen.
That may be effective for the people using that path for ingress and egress.
It would probably just put it right next to the other sign that we showed earlier.
Just one more. Maybe I'll go back to what you said. People throw things at dolphins.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've seen issues. Yeah. I mean, I've seen cast nets, food. They catch the fish as they strand. You throw it back at them.
Can you make just a general motion abandonment from the
pool? Yes. I mean, that's definitely. I mean, we have a lot of issues on Kiowa where they're strand feeding very consistently, and thousands of people are out there to see it. And we're starting to monitor Breach Inlet and both county parks at the Folly, because we get reports. Morris Island, if anybody's ever been out there, it's also a little crazy.
Thank you.
But it's issues,
Thank you for
taking
the
call.
Yeah, of course.
I have a question. I know you said you have some flexibility on what goes on the sign. Would you be open to, since it's three-sided, one side about the mammal protection, one side about turtles, one side about birds?
I'm pretty, you know, I just need, so I'm working with a no partner. I don't want to say yes 100%. Yeah. I know she's been very flexible in that we can add anything the town has wanted. So I do believe that would be fine, but I'd have to go back and come back on that. But so, we did talk about how, you know, we can add turtles if they want turtles, and birds came up, and I don't see that being an issue. I just don't want to say 100% today.
So I know that the city, so I guess I was thinking, Deb, of the same kind of line of thought. If that sign, if you all thought that sign was superior, if it were to replace this sign and take the information on the sign and add it to that sign, again, I'll say that another effort was to kind of have the signs with a uniform appearance or replicating this style. So I don't know, it might be odd to have one or two that were a different style than the rest. And Amy, how many of these, this style, are out? Kind of 10, 15, something like that?
I'd say close to 20.
20. And I think there was a goal, though, to have eventually have all
50 of them. Yes, we were working towards all accesses to have those. But this is the only one that has the dolphin one, though, because it was a triplet, so.
Question? Would the NOAA grant allow Isle Palms to have more than two, or is that the total number that would be available? It sounds like we have opportunities for using the structure that you suggested and consolidating some of our other information. So do you know anything about that?
I know the grant has been used up for the two. Okay. And usually that funding sort of comes at the end of the year. It's kind of use it or lose it funding.
Right.
It's like, use it now. So I'm not totally sure, but I can double check on that. And that's
or
sort of
you could find out for us a cost per construction. That way we can look for grant opportunities or funding if it's determined. I mean, it sounds like everybody likes your concept, but we have a lot of questions that we still need to get answered.
So would this be a good issue for the wildlife? I think the turtle signs came specifically from the wildlife subcommittee. Would that group be agreeable to mulling over the issues brought up and coming back with a suggestion to the group?
Yeah. Also, one last comment for me. I think this might be something good to discuss when or if we hire a PR person for the city of Isle Palms. I think that would be in the purview of that staff member. So, you know, I don't know what the status is there, but I think coordination would be important.
Yeah, absolutely. We're close on that person.
Good.
I think we're close.
Any other questions for Lauren? Okay, thank you both for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for all you do.
No, thank you.
So the next item on our agenda was a presentation about Charleston County Greenhouse Gas Audit, but I don't see.
Yeah, Belvin has indicated that there was a trial that pulled the doctor away for this meeting, but that he would be at our March meeting.
Okay. All right, so we do not have a presentation regarding that.
Okay. So that'll be on March, and I don't know if that...
No, that's good, because I haven't had any luck yet landing someone.
So you want to try to push that to April?
Push that to April. Okay. That works out.
So we'll just do that to March. Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. I'd like to proceed then with old business. Before I do, I just wanted to make sure that we took a moment to welcome Jordan Burrell from Academic Magnet High School, and she's going to be our ex officio high school student representative on the community, and we're very happy to have you. And she has an interest in working with wildlife.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, was she just appointed to the wildlife subcommittee? Did I hear that correctly?
Sort of, yeah.
All right. Very good.
Volunteer.
I think Mary snatched her up right
away.
Okay,
we were going to have that discussion, but Mary just cut it short.
Jordan, we need to get your email address so we can include you.
Awesome. Okay, so the first group group to present today is going to be wildlife, and you guys are going to be updating us on signs as well as talking about some of your goals for your subgroup.
Well, I think Douglas usually gives us the update on how many signs the city has finished putting up. There's a picture.
And I think we're in the 30s now. I think we're very close to having it. And I do know that we ran out of posts. So I think we're now kind of within the last 10. We're waiting for posts. As soon as those posts come in, we'll have them all done.
And what's the total?
I think it's 35 or something.
I think 35 is up, and then we bought
10 more?
No, because we're doing
52. Yeah,
he was going to Granger to pick up the signpost and then we're all done.
So we should be, I believe, by your next meeting, we would be done with this.
Great, thank you. That's real good progress. They look so good.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah. I thought last week my wife said the same thing. We love those signs.
Yeah,
they're eye catching.
Yeah, that's great.
One person told me, "Oh, we need to paint those bolts green," and I thought, "No, that's not going to work because it'll peel off."
Yeah,
you know,
it wouldn't last.
I think we can live with the metal bolts. I think it looks great.
Now you just need a short bird underneath, and then a whole foot underneath.
Yeah,
stop it.
We can just stick another one.
It's a slippery slope.
Raccoons will line through.
I don't know if the committee got we kind of went crazy on the text here, but a lot of it's just explaining, and we didn't plan on reading every word on our goals list for wildlife. Debbie, you want me to start? Because you know more about the last few items for the coyotes.
You can start. I left my notes at home, so I'm reading off my phone.
I'll pass this to you if you want it. Did the committee get this?
No, they did not. I'm sorry.
I sent it to you yesterday.
Yep, you did. I was
can
out of town,
the committee
but
email this?
I will send it to them right now.
Oh, good. Well, I'll just read the first part. Action items. 1, promote the use of native plants and trees on the Isle of Palms through education of residents and using them in any public green spaces that now exist or are created in the future. We're just thinking about the green space at the marina and all that and how native plants do so much better. Below that is a section on positive impacts of native plants about the low maintenance and they're so much better for wildlife, and that's why our committee brought this up, and they're drought resistant, and just all in all, great. I mean, I know a lot of sweetgrass is being used around the island, and that does so well.
May I ask a question about that while you're there?
Sure.
At one point, the Garden Club was interested in writing about this, and
I know. Actually in our notes.
Well,
sorry.
I've been hoping every time the
island
comes out, I've given her the information, and she's so busy with the exchange club and the garden club that
she said,
I'll get to it. So,
okay.
Gallardias are the next one, and I was looking at today's island, and I'm thinking, oh, please be in there, but it's not. It will, maybe next time. I'll just keep reminding her.
Because it'd be great to help get some of the other clubs working on some
of our goals. I know.
Thank you.
I just want to do it myself.
I know.
She said she'd do it, so that'll happen.
Give her a gentleman.
Soon. Okay. Another thing about the planning is Debbie and I read online about the negative environmental impacts of this artificial turf that's being used on the island. And we thought it would be good to perhaps educate people about the negative impacts of it. When you get this thing, you'll see how the plastic grass is a big polluter. We got PFAS in it. Doug has been educating us about PFAS and also phthalates, am I saying that correctly?
Phthalates and microplastics themselves.
BPA and all kinds of particles that come out and go in the air even and
have been, it's been linked to PAH exposure. I don't know what PAH is, but
hydrocarbons.
Exposure to breast cancer, childhood cancer, lung cancer, asthma, increased rates of lung and cardiovascular disease. I mean, do you want that in your yard? I don't think people realize when they put that plastic grass down what they're doing. And there's a lot more grass is so much healthier because it doesn't just shut off all the insects, all the bird life, anything that is just a sterile plastic yard, and it's not good.
And if they're using the turf and it's not porous, you're actually increasing runoff.
Yeah.
Well.
Yes.
There are lots of problems, and there's a high carbon footprint to manufacture, transport, install, and it can't be easily recycled and usually goes into the landfill.
So
when it wears out. After emitting all these harmful chemicals.
So you have a goal set there, but are you making a recommendation to get it in the planning?
We are wondering whether it's serious enough to recommend. I mean, we can discuss this. We don't have to decide tonight. This is just on our list to discuss. And I don't know if council would even consider telling people not to use that stuff. But I think people should know.
You know, that's my business.
Oh, John, really?
Any artificial turf business.
I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So I wouldn't
consider.
So I just bad
mouthed your business.
But
sorry.
But there's also a lot of things you said that aren't true.
Oh, okay.
But
maybe you can't believe everything you read online.
Yeah.
Well, please tell us.
Yeah. So we don't need to take that up here, but we should. I could help get you educated on industries and testing and different things that have done, and different carbon footprints that have been. You know, the analysis of that versus natural turf with lawnmowers and everything else going on, and fertilizers and pesticides and all those kind of things going on natural grass. So. There's lots of studies of it, but there's also a lot of things that you said that are in there that aren't in there. So you should get educated more than I think where you are, but I can help get you educated.
Well,
can
we
you provide
need
us?
That.
Can you provide us some of that?
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah. It's probably one of the biggest tested consumer products there is. I mean, it's been tested every which way, and there's a lot of recyclability efforts on it. It's completely recyclable now. No turf put in is not porous, it's all porous. It drains, 400 inches per hour. So the ground beneath it is, so there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of non-factual information that came out, so you should get educated more on it, I think is probably the next step. Before you make any recommendations.
Good. Well, we need to know the truth.
Can we capture
an action item? You will help us with that. We appreciate
sure.
it.
Can we capture an action item on the agenda to get information?
Sure.
To get educated on that?
John, since it's your business, I have a couple of questions. Is all the turf now made with the crumbled tires?
You talk about two different things. You're talking about athletic turf and residential turf. Most of the athletic turf still, we bought a company that actually does organic infill. It takes coconut shells, grinds them up, and that's the infill for athletic fields. But still, athletic fields today use a lot of ground up tires. And there's a whole case of that as well. They're saying if they stop using it there, where are you going to use all these tires? Because all your tires get ground up or need to get ground up at some point. But that's a whole different thing. For out of yards, there is no ground rubber in it. It's all either sand or this natural organic infills. People don't want rubber in their yard.
But I could not find, are any of the grasses made from anything except plastic?
No, they're all polyethylene.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I would have thought somebody would have come up with a different, material.
There's some poly, Coke bottles, you can grind Coke bottles and that material has been used, but it's still in its infancy stages. Recycled plastic water bottles and Coke bottles and those things, but it's still in the infancy stage.
What about the contribution to microplastics? leaching microplastics into the water.
Look, it's plastic, so at some point could some of it get there? I don't know. I don't have that information, but it is polyethylene.
Okay, I'll move on. I don't want to take up too much time. Number two is work with the Audubon South Carolina in their program to protect migratory shorebirds. And under that one, we were considering putting up educational signs near Breach Inlet and other areas where these birds stop to rest and feed. And that just goes right in with Lauren Rust and what she just proposed about the free sign. And it talks about shorebird stewards on the beach educating people. And so we want to continue to work with and assist DNR when they put up and rope off those areas wherever the shorebirds at the terns are deciding to nest. It might be a different place. It was in Wild Inns last year. Debbie, the next thing are rodenticides and coyote management. I'll pass that down to you.
So we all know rodenticides are bad for everything except the rat that it kills. But having worked with the medical side of wildlife, it's a really ugly, horrible death. And so many times pets will get hold of, you know, the bait instead of the animal you're baiting. And in addition, so the rats, because they multiply so quickly, reproduce so quickly, and, you know, in mass, they can quickly build up tolerances to these poisons, which is why the poisons keep getting bigger and better. So the rat may survive after he's ingested it, and maybe he's a little loopy, and then a hawk comes and picks him up. Well, then the, you know, I don't understand really the mechanisms in the body, but it's magnified quite a bit, the potency of the toxin that's in the rat now that the hawk or the bald eagle or the child, whatever, gets. So anyway, after reading about this, we suggested proposing a rodenticide ban on all palms. And I had put in parentheses, maybe add a fine, and Mary's like, yeah, you might want to back off that a little bit. But I was pretty fired up after reading. You know, it's just really an unnecessary solution. If you want to kill, I'm all for killing rats, but, you know, use an old-fashioned rat trap.
Yeah.
Or, you know, let's have more hogs. And yay for the coyotes, because they kill a lot of rats.
We've gotten at least a dozen just in the last year, rats with those old snap crack put peanut butter on it, and you bury it.
So that was, you know, put some notes in there, and mostly, I mean, what I was thinking when we were putting these notes was so that we don't have to discuss every bit of it here, and you have something when you go to city council with it to say these are their reasons.
So I would generally just advise that I feel like this group has kind of broad abilities to educate, to publicize, to get the word out, and I think that ability will be enhanced once we have a person dedicated on the staff that can do that. When it gets into bands, it just goes to a different stratosphere. So I would say my advice would be that the default be educate, get the word out, inform people, and that the, you know, only once that's kind of failed and proven to be ineffective that the next step, or if it's a big enough issue, you know, I think that a ban would be considered. But I would say that it would have to be a pretty severe issue to go the route of recommending a ban, would be my just kind of personal recommendation for that. To me, I think it would be better suited for public education, but you know, that's a thing for you all to noodle on and consider how you want to recommend.
Sounds like it would be a really good article for Island Eye News or...
Mary actually did one.
I did it. I could run it again. Yeah.
Did you talk to Kiowa?
No, but I know that they almost lost their bobcat population because, and they put a ban on it.
Well, they also did a big educational effort across the island and around, because a lot of people didn't know this. And I think it helped tremendously, and maybe you'll be able to use some of their techniques and what they did to be able to educate the public on this.
Do y'all think I should resubmit that article about this again?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, let me ask that.
Maybe tweak it with some updates and
I don't know any more about it than I did then.
Just some of our educational efforts, whether it's for wildlife or native plant education for homeowners or villages, is there a place on our website potentially, the Isle of Palms, to put some, if we wanted to? I'm not sure who like owns that or what the right, you know, what the requirements are. If we wanted to just provide education or resources, would that be an option? I was saying, well, we'll put the Isle of News in this there once and nobody sees it again.
Yeah, I think that our, personally, I think our website is that way too a little bit, that there's not a lot of, other than kind of checking agendas and calendars, I don't believe there's a lot of traffic into the kind of, you know, back pages of, there is kind of a splash page at the front that I think gets some visibility on the way to the agendas. But I think that the police department has had probably the best outreach of the city with social media posts. I mean, I think that the city is kind of looking at them and what they've done as being a notch above in terms of just purely kind of public outreach. And I do think that's going to change. I think that the city has seen that as a weakness, and that's why we're hiring a person to dedicate to that effort. So I think it'll be much better very quickly. But right now, I would say it's things on the website generally don't get nearly the views that like an Island Eye article would, my personal opinion.
I think our education efforts could be directed more towards like alternatives instead of using rat poison, because I think what people don't understand is they think that that's the most effective solution, but if we can provide them with more of a guaranteed list of other ways that kind of give them more options to look at, it would definitely allow for there to be more of an effect on people, like with the education side of it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I like the idea of, you know, padding a negative with a positive, introduce it in a positive way. And so, yeah, that's a very good point.
When we resubmit the article, we can put that at the top of the, you know, in big.
Yeah, instead of don't do this, do this.
Probably
so
your
yeah.
One.
Yeah. I like that title.
And at the end of these, like I said, these are just ideas Mary and I have, and, you know, basically consider using Nextdoor and other media for education, because, you know, we don't really have the ability to do much about this other than talk and educate. So. Oh, and then the other thing after the rodenticides is coyote management. So I looked at the coyote management page on the IOP website, and then I looked at the DeWeese coyote management page, and I just liked theirs better. I felt like it gave a little more information, and so I made a suggestion that we update the IOP coyote management plan to include more educational links and information, model DeWeese coyote management plan and website, and focus on the benefits and necessities of a top predator. And
so, Deb,
yeah.
I should know this, but is the IOP coyote management plan, it is a document on the city's website?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're saying not only is the plan itself, the plan should just have more information, not really getting to the plan. It's
right.
when you're looking for the plan.
And it's not bad, but okay. If you look at it and compare it to DeWeese, I don't know, I felt like DeWeese was a more positive message. So exactly what Jordan was just saying.
Is that something that the group would be willing to propose revisions to? Take our plan, update it, review it, present this group with revisions?
Yep.
Could you all do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jordan helped.
I don't know of another group that, I don't think, you know, the public safety committee was kind of getting statistics, but other than that, I don't know. There was, for a time, a pretty engaged group of citizens, but I don't think that, I think that this group is probably the closest thing of being kind of the holding place for that plan. So if you all are agreeable, I think that would be great.
And there was just an article by one of our animal control people in the, what's that smaller newspaper? It's more rural. Anyway, that was just me Googling. I found they were saying that they had, the coyote sightings had gone way down, but they'd also changed the way they were counting a sighting.
I saw something by our animal control officer, Ryan Warren, in the
Yeah,
that might be what you got when you Googled it.
But anyway, I would personally like to be more informed about what's actually going on with the coyotes, because it says that the city is trapping nuisance coyotes, but it's very vague, you know.
I know there's that report, public safety report, each month, but and it's, you know, it's not a lot of, it seems like it's one or two periodically. But beyond that, I don't know what else is out there.
And I'd just be interested to know, if we put this out there as a suggestion to the community, would people be open to a more DeWeese approach to coyotes, instead of, we hate the coyotes, we want to kill the coyotes, you know? Are the residents open to a different way of looking at coyotes?
I heard Mary talking about those eggs.
I know.
I know. I think she's all for getting rid of that.
There was a meeting at the rec center a few years ago, and the man from DNR came and tried to convince the residents that you can't just shoot all the coyotes, it would cause problems. And people really wanted to kill them all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to get up and say, let's listen to the experts.
I mean, you know, are we going to follow the science on this or not? Is.
Yeah.
So. That's a question of a lot of things.
That's true.
And there were two things right at the end that were just concerns but not action items. Can you scroll down a little more?
Yes.
Keep up with the police about in the turtle nesting season and about the holes, and study how much the new turtle signs make, if they're making a difference. And the last thing is something that I talked to Desiree about. Sullivan's Island is changing all their street lights to LED bright white lights. And what we had, I talked to their administrator, Andy, and I had my turtle volunteers do a nighttime survey to see if any of their streetlights are visible. They've got that maritime forest.
Right.
And what we found out from that was that there were no streetlights visible. There were some house lights visible. So, but on the Isle of Palms, it could be a problem. So,
we do have, currently we have streetlights visible.
Yes, but the LED ones would make it even worse.
Yeah.
So we need to study that if the Isle of Palms decides to change, to make that change. Right now, we can live with it the way it is.
Okay.
I mean, there are lights. And our two action items last year, 2022, we failed to get the ordinance for the shovels, but we got the signs. And the other thing was we were going to do that rack card with turtles on one side and shorebirds on the other. And the garden club was going to buy tons of them and put them in the hotels. And that hasn't happened yet, but I got impatient and wanted some of these really great rack cards, and I just ordered 1,000 of them for the turtle team to use to give to put here at City Hall and to give out at the street fair in March and December. So we're just going to go ahead with that, and if the Garden Club wants. My personal opinion is the people in the hotels are not going to bring big shovels, and they're not going to have dogs chasing birds because they're not bringing dogs on vacation. So I don't really care if that ever happens or not. But at least we got some nice cards out of it, and we'll use those. And that's all for anything else on wildlife. I'm sorry to take so much time.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Thank you, Mary and Deb. The next group is the litter group, and Douglas, you may have an update on Fisher and Smart Recycling.
Yes, we do. We have Smart under contract, so that went through City Council without issue. We have executed a contract. They, I think the last I heard, they indicated it would be in the beginning of March. They may have.
March 1st.
Yeah, so it was going to be March 1st. They were going to put their cans out, start at the beginning of the month. We also have reached out to Fisher about moving their cans over to the Carbonar Bunch Park. They have done that. We've directed. I was surprised at how many. I didn't think they had four.
Last I looked, earlier today there were two.
So maybe, yeah.
It'd be interesting to know if they, we see them filling up fast.
Did that for demand. I don't know. I was going to.
They're full of wine bottles.
Anecdotally, it seems like there's more volume than I've caught when we started.
When you start,
I don't know unless they tell us.
So we are also. Robert with the Public Works Department is working on a corral, putting him behind basically a fence to, it's part of our ordinance that cans not be visible from the public right of way, so we're a little bit kind of wrestling with our own rules, but the plan is to have a fence generally in this area to obscure the cans themselves, but I do think that we're going to need some signage, and I would hope that it would be an attractive sign that would indicate to people recycle and bring your compost here. Of course, they're both pilot programs at this point, so I don't know that we would want to do much more than kind of what we're doing now with just their signs, but eventually, I don't know if this could be a school project or something else to come up with an enhancement if it becomes a permanent installation there, which,
Because it's a pilot, could we ask the City Council, or could we ask to just be exempt from having to put the fencing or anything up just during the pilot period, and then if it's going to move forward for a permanent, then we'll bring it up to compliance? Why spend the money on something? And do we know whether it's going to be a success or not?
Well, it just so happens to the installation of these cans just so happens to coincide with our code enforcement officers, like, really buckling down. So the timing is it's not great, and the cost of the corral might just be warranted by bad timing that we would not probably want to be in a position where we exempt ourselves at the same time as we're ticketing residents.
Yeah,
so
thank you for sharing that, though.
Did we ever get the grant?
Yeah,
still haven't heard anything.
Yeah, we have followed up occasionally. We applied for that grant. We have not, that I'm aware of.
Which grants are?
Fisher. Remember, Fisher made reference to it, and it was kind of a
$9,000 grant.
That's too bad if the cans can't be in sight because people won't see them and use them.
Well, I think you would have to rely on the signage.
And Douglas, it's not a closed fence. It's going to be like
slatted.
You're going to be able to slide it. It's not going to be completely closed in.
I will have Robert drag his feet on how quickly he makes them comply.
Really,
I'm
sure there will be things on Robert.
Robert's very busy with the turtle sign right now.
That's right.
For at least a couple more weeks.
One other thing I was thinking about that may not work out since this is a city project, but a lot of Boy Scout troops love doing this kind of project, and a lot of scouts that are working on their Eagle Scout badge
right.
are looking for doable projects just like this. It might be a source.
Yeah. So also, Elizabeth, she's indicated that usage is up. There were some questions about this at the last meeting. Usage is up. They are measuring it with each dump. She was going to come back. We asked her to come back at her six-month kind of anniversary, it's either March or April. But she's agreed to do that. So she'll be back to just kind of update you on the progress and think she feels like it's been successful, and clearly there's additional cans out there. It looks like it is a success.
What are the set pickup days? Or are they set?
I do not recall.
I thought it was Monday.
Is it?
That's in my mind too.
I think it's Monday.
Okay. When we moved the cans from behind the Harris Teeter, I saw on next door people couldn't find them anymore and had stopped using it, and other people on next door were having to tell them it was at Common Bunch Park.
Oh, wow.
And we had talked about putting a sign over there at Harris Teeter, but I guess we didn't do it. Was the committee supposed to do that?
No, I think I relayed that to Elizabeth. It's possible that I didn't.
That's another sign that we
have. Yeah, might be that.
Temporary.
You think that's still an issue? Or is that kind of a feud?
I don't know.
I did see where Elizabeth posted something on, I think it was Alapalm's Friends and Neighbors, or
yeah.
I'm not sure about the title of that website, but
I know that she's steady trying to promote the service.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious how it's going to go in the summer, if we're going to see a big uptake or not from visitors. I just can't be bothered, I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it's great, and then all of a sudden there's bottles all around because the things are full. And you have to get more containers, but that's not a bad thing. It's just less glass going in.
I do think we pay them, I think, by the can, I think, if I remember. Maybe that was just Smart. Maybe that was a Smart group, but...
Yeah, I think Smart is by the can.
Are they not? Were they kind of...
They
may have wanted all they could get.
I think this is the number of times they pick up.
Maybe it is. And maybe they're happy to have more money.
This one is, I think, times. Because the more you have, the more pickups you need. That's where they make their money, I think, if I recall.
I think you're right.
So that's all. I think that's all I have on Fisher and Smart.
In terms of the 2023 goals, I'll do a couple of them, and then I'll have Linda do a couple of them. But the first one is really about looking at ways to work with the new hire. And I have this title here, Alapalm's Public Relations and Tourism Coordinator. Is that
correct? I think that sounds correct.
But working with that individual to develop information that can be disseminated to residents as well as the tourists to just inform them about all the different things that the committee has been doing. The second one is really related to continuing to look for ways to collaborate with Palmetto Pride. Palmetto Pride is Sarah Lyles is the coordinator for Palmetto Pride, and she gave us a couple of suggestions. One was, and this was when we first met with her, one was to identify litter hotspots outside of that commercial area, and that they will do that, and they will provide something called a litter index. And I was kind of interested in that because I had participated in one of the community beach sweeps, and it was in January, and the beach was just pristine. I did not find one cigarette butt, I didn't find one wrapper, nothing. But the county park was also closed at this time. It was January, so there wasn't a lot of activity on the beach. So I was relating this to someone who lived in Wild Dunes, and they said, oh, you should come to 55th access. She said, there's trash all over the place there. So you know, we may be missing some place, some missing opportunities on the island just by focusing on one area, and can we expand that a little bit? And then I'm going to have Linda talk about 3 and 4, but before I do that, I just wanted to jump down to 5. And I didn't know how to say this exactly, but I would like to start some dialogue and maybe collaboration with local businesses and rental agencies with regards to single-use plastics and specifically plastic water bottles. I think that there's some things that that we could do. I'm just to give you an example. At times when I have reserved an Airbnb, I go in the kitchen, I open the refrigerator, and there are 12 plastic water bottles in the refrigerator for me to use. And I brought my own water bottle, so I don't really need to use those water bottles. And I think maybe seeing if we can get people to reduce the use of plastic water bottles in this way, encouraging people and informing people that we have great water on the Isle of Palms. It's great for drinking, it's great for cooking. You can get it filtered from your refrigerator if you're not happy with that, or you could buy it in a big, gallon jug. But it is kind of distressing to see the mountain of plastic water bottles outside of the grocery in the summertime. There's also been some concern about the, I think it's contaminants leaching out of the plastic. Is that BPAs, Doug? You probably know about that more than I do.
Yeah, it's BPAs and maybe phthalates. It depends on the plastic.
Right, and so when it sits in the sun and heats up, there are chemicals that leach out of the plastic water bottles. I don't think there is good knowledge about what the impact of those chemicals are on the water that you're drinking. But
that's why you see a lot of the water bottles are now going to a BHP-free stainless steel.
Right. So, there was a movement a few years ago that a lot of the water bottles that you buy to reuse were made of stainless steel as opposed to plastic. And so I think it would be nice to initiate some efforts to kind of look at this and work towards reducing the amount of use for the future.
So, Sandy, it would be rental companies? I mean, are you thinking just rental companies? Are you thinking, I don't know that Harris Teeter would...
Well, you had talked about... one thought that I had, based on what you were saying a minute ago, I'm not sure if this would be the best place for it or not, but, having information on, when you're talking about what do you need when you come to the Isle of Palms, bring your water bottle, talk about that fact that we have great water, and it's people may have come to the beach in years past and had water that was very soft and wasn't good for drinking or cooking or things like that, and as long as we have good water coming from the Charleston water system, our water's great. Mm-hmm. And so I think people don't realize that. I think there is a natural tendency sometimes to think that the water's not going to be good. And I think having it in front of the store, to me, is kind of like having those ribs in front of the Harris Teeter. When they're cooking ribs in front of the Harris Teeter, it's not on my grocery list. But I walk up there and I go, gosh, I need some ribs. So when you cut this right in your face, I think it really makes people think, oh, I'll pick up some water while I'm here. Anyway, I'm going to let Linda talk about the next two.
Thank you. I'll be real quick because I think the packet for today had our write-up in it. So I just want to highlight a couple of things, two more points. One thing that Sandy and I, our working group, talked about was ways that we can maybe engage some of the neighborhoods in litter efforts. Sandy mentioned earlier that part of the beach that's been swept is looking cleaner, and I think some neighborhoods are too, but there's still spots where, again, through social media or the new hire, we might be able to get neighborhoods to participate in the cleanup, perhaps even asking volunteers to be neighborhood captains. I think they're unofficial volunteers now for recycle people to put up signs and so forth, but do the same thing for litter, not anything other than positively encourage, and maybe if their neighbors see them collecting litter on the street, that may be an encouragement to do the same. And we talked about before, and maybe we'll talk about some more, is considering some sort of award for either a neighborhood that has done an especially good cleanup job, or businesses that are working at keeping their litter picked up and neat. So if you have any ideas about how to engage neighborhoods with our litter efforts, that'd be great. And the other thing I think is really important, this committee now has been operating for over a year, and we've been working on some super initiatives and have gotten a lot of stuff done. I think we are ready for some metrics on our litter. I know South Carolina Aquarium and their cleanup efforts have measures for the tonnage and the pounds and what all they've picked up, and I imagine that Susan Smith and the IOP cleanup crew also have some numbers, and it would be good to compare where we were.
And I think Doug was talked about getting some information from Elizabeth, and I don't know how about the butt canisters, or you know, whether they're used or not, or
I do know the Marina one is very heavily used for whatever reason. That community dock one is full, and I don't know if that's employees. I don't know. But, I could ask the public works folks who are. I know that it's not being measured or weighed.
But they were going to estimate or eyeball how many times.
And if it's increasing over time.
Yeah. Just so that we know what is working effectively and where we may need to put some more effort. That's all.
The metrics side. I'm trying to remember the person who presented litter.
I think you're talking about the South Carolina Aquarium.
Wasn't Beach Santa, not Hogue.
But we talked about the person coming back quarterly, once every three months or 6 months to give us an update. Because they were counting.
That's South Carolina Aquarium, and she works with Susan Smith.
Yeah, I think we could get a report. We don't need a presentation, but it would be really good to have some sort of outcome assessments for the things that we're trying to achieve.
They report to council that information periodically.
Susan's group does.
From their beach.
You're talking about litter hotspots. My volunteers pick up tons of trash in front of the Boardwalk Inn at Grand Pavilion, and even towels are left out there.
Yeah.
And I think the hotel is supposed to go out and clean it, but it just doesn't happen. And I tell my people, you don't have to clean it all up, you know, let them do it. But if you're looking for hot spots, that's a bad one.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is anything else? Did you have anything else on it?
No,
can I just add, I did like your suggestion about potentially having some recognition for businesses or restaurants that are doing things in a positive way. And I think we're trying to rethink the island as, you know, a green island, a vacation destination in the 21st century, and having this PR person, you know, kind of highlight the things that we're doing as an island community to, you know, protect our wildlife, protect our waterways. So when you come here to go deep sea fishing, or you want to go on the beach, you don't have to worry about, you know, the storm runoff being on your beach, or that there's E. coli in your waterway killing your, you know, your fish. That the restaurants you're going to, they met a certain, I don't know who would set the standard, but they met a certain standard, right? You build buildings now, and there's like LEED, LEED, you know, certified, right? They're meeting certain standards of environmental friendliness and quality. Like, is there a way for us to kind of have some, we're not slapping somebody's hand, but we're rewarding them for spotlighting them to say, you know, these are the restaurants, these are the establishments that have bought into this vision that are doing certain things. I don't know what the standard is, I don't know who sets it, I don't know how often it's revisited, but just to kind of go along with your idea of saying, you know, is there a recognition that somebody can earn if they've gotten a certain level of limiting their plastics or styrofoam or paper, or I don't know what's
a good idea. But, you know, it's the old adage, you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar, right? So if we encourage people, maybe they get a sticker of approval or something that reflects their contribution to the to that.
Right.
I would just add to that that we have related but different. We have talked about the city stormwater system, and you know the we have these ditches in the back of people's yards, and I know the city of Charleston has an adopt a drain program where neighborhood representatives, you know, they're educated about kind of raking the leaves back from the grates to keep the stormwater free and clear of getting in there. So the idea of engaging neighborhood individuals to be able to kind of relay key pieces of information and have them, because I think it is just lack of awareness. I mean, if a drain system has crap in it, they probably don't think much about it and let it go. So I think that initiative could kind of work well in a lot of different facets and help the city a lot.
Thank you.
Water quality? Do we have a report on water quality?
Well, I think we have not sat down together and put together comparable. We have last year's notes that we had.
Yeah, really looking at last year's notes, but we haven't sat down to see what we need to change from it. I think we're still, from the Beach Advocates meeting, I think we might have some new ideas of potential ways to get at our stormwater runoff and potential ways to filter that. I think we have to do a little bit more investigating, probably have more conversations about that. But I mean, I guess given the hour, since we're at almost approaching 5:30, I think maybe if everybody else is available, we can maybe table the rest of the discussions till next time.
Well, I would, if you want, do you guys want to kind of give some thought to what you'd like to do for your goals and then present at the next meeting?
That we haven't done a thorough job yet for this year and the hour, I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
I think we still, you know, just a quick comment, I think we still have to complete some of the objective that we've been working on, which is understanding the current quality of the water and the current situation. I think that'll
There's another measurement. I don't know if you want
to.
Yeah, so what
that was, that brings us to the water quality.
Yeah, so I would just say that we have tested we've had another opportunity to test stormwater during a rain event in the same locations, the same three ditches that we tested last time, 30th, 36th, and 41st. You'll recall that the first set of tests, all three were off the charts. They were taken towards the beginning of a rain event, and we thought about that, and we thought, well, you know, that could be raccoon, E. coli, that could be kind of any, that could be the stuff in the ditch getting out. So let's give this one a little bit more of an opportunity to flush. So I think this round we waited 6 hours, so it was after 6 hours of rainfall. So still two of the three were off the charts. The third one was very close to being to the limit, but it was at least at a measurable limit. So we don't really even know the levels because it kind of exceeds their testing limits at those two places. So I think we have tried, or I have tried to reach out to water keepers about next steps, and you know we're definitely kind of shooting in the dark, and I think I at least had hope that water keepers would give us guidance along the way, and it may be that they're, you know, it's not, they're probably busy with other stuff. So I think the water group should circle back after we've taken a few tests and get together a strategy of how to move that forward, because you know right now all we know is that the results are extremely high. We've talked about whether or not that could be primarily animal, you know, we don't know. So we'll, I think the group will fold that into their workshop.
The other thing that's gonna come up too is as we educate on the PFAS, PFAS, we may wanna be the US EPA is about to put out draft ordinance or draft regulations on maximum contaminant levels for PFAS in drinking water, which means our drinking water purveyor, if it's Charleston Water, will have to start sampling for PFAS, and if it's detected above the MCL, they're going to have to start treating it. So we, you know, did that, and as well, we've got the wastewater treatment plant, we're generating sludges. So I don't know where the sludges go these days, but they're going to be doing toxicological studies or risk management toxicological studies on PFAS and sewage sludge. Some states like Maine have banned it now from land application, and so there may be future requirements for the Water and Sewer Commission to have to do different things with their biosolids and sludges. So I think we've got to look at that when we're thinking about looking overall water quality in the future. That's a very big issue. There's a lot of money out there right now to address it too, if we do have to do something.
Okay, thank you guys. Climate action, I don't think we have a report on climate action. Do you have anything, Douglas?
I do not.
Okay, all right.
And I don't know, other than Belvin, are there...
No, I said, we'll talk about that.
Is it the same?
John signed up for climate
on that one.
But I have
not
Belvin. So we'll get with Belvin. When we get together and talk about water, I'll give it Belvin about climate.
Okay, and so we will report on that next time?
Yeah.
You guys want to report on that next
time?
Yeah,
I think the key thing there is we're looking to piggyback on the efforts by Charleston. For climate
plans. Okay.
Yes, that's what we'll do. We'll report out next time.
Okay. So just real quickly, under new business, there was one thing that I wanted to mention that you guys had talked about at the last meeting, and that was the Front Beach Festival is coming up. I think it's March the 4th. And someone had suggested at our previous meeting that we may want to do something for the Front Beach Festival.
I think it's all set. The vendors have all been assigned.
Okay.
And they had 180 applicants for 50 spots.
Wow.
So we might miss that anyway.
I don't know. Well, they do give preference to the city groups like Garden Club, Turtle Team, and Exchange Club. So I don't know.
Maybe we can all pitch up and spread the word.
I'm going to be there anyway.
I know. We'll come to you.
We'll have some of our new rec cards to hand out.
Good. Okay.
Wildlife.
So that we're not planning to do anything with regards to that then. Except you're going to be doing the
Turtle
Team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that was mentioned was Earth Day. I think Doug had mentioned that last time.
Yeah, April
22nd. April 22nd.
We don't want to do anything for Earth Day. I don't know if we've really explored that much, but.
The National Water Day is March 16th, so.
Then there's a day with a day without water. There's a number of different things, but Earth Day, did we want to do anything? I don't know if we really ever.
Does the island do anything, Douglas?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Mary, you recollect the city doing anything? Yeah.
Well, that might be a good opportunity for the new staff person to promote what John was saying earlier about creating a friendly green island environment. We'll do Earth Day next year.
The Climate Action Group put this as a strategy. Reporting next month. Tell Belvin.
What you get when you don't come in.
Yeah. Ask Belvin.
Hand the action items to the absent member.
I definitely think that if we do something for Earth Day, because from what I'm hearing, like, not a lot of people really like recognize it. Like, it is a holiday, but people, I mean, if I were to ask people at my school, they probably wouldn't know what day it is or really like what to do for it. So I definitely think bringing awareness to that would definitely shine some light for our cause.
I feel like it used to be a bigger deal, didn't it? I mean, I used to kind of know it. Now it's lost some of its, I don't know, don't hear about it as much. Feeling it.
Yeah.
Sandy, I had one thing.
Yeah,
good. You have something?
No, go right ahead. I did have one thing. And it was, this is for next time. So we're gonna update water quality and climate action. And I would be really interested in hearing from those people who had a chance to attend the conference and find out a little bit more about what they learned from the conference, and are there specifically as they relate to the work of our committee.
And I would like to thank the city for sending five of us to the 3-day South Carolina Beach Advocates meeting in Wild Dunes. That was great.
Yeah, thank you. Money well spent.
Yeah, what was that about? I didn't.
Beach Advocates.
I missed that.
Thomas, you said you had another thing.
So Sandy, do you want that on the on a future agenda?
Yes, if that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to provide that information on behalf of the, for the committee. I know several people attended, but I don't know if you want to divide that.
I was thinking it would be good for those that attended to just report any kind of takeaways that they had, or things that jumped out at them.
I took some notes. I'll bring them next time.
Yeah, I think anything that anybody took away, I think it would be good to just report that.
I got a lot of notes, and I also gave Belvin a list of things for the Climate Action Committee to work on. So,
and Belvin was there too.
Yeah, Belvin was there. Last thing for me is these, and I should have mentioned this with the Smart Composting Group. They have asked to do a kind of a workshop for how to use it, how to, they want to come to the community. And I don't know, Matt and I have talked a little bit about what that might look like. Would it be at the rec center? So if you would, I'll put that on the agenda for next month. But just think about how you think we could best kind of engage people to come to a workshop, where it would be, how we would get the word out, when, those kind of things. I think it would be premature to, they won't be there until March, so we don't want to do anything until I think they're in place. But I think shortly after they get in place, we'd like to let people know how to use them and how to access them.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else have anything for this meeting? I know we've gone over a little bit, and thank you all for that, for your patience. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So Sandy, just to recap.
Yeah.
So we had, because a lot did come out.
Yeah.
I'd like to go over, next month we're going to have the audit, the greenhouse audit from Belvin's speaker.
Yes.
Doug, you're going to work on the PFAS for April.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Updated coyote plan. Is that something the wildlife group I think is going to work on as they can?
Okay.
Metrics for the canisters, metrics from Susan Hill Smith on litter.
And South Carolina Aquarium.
Say that again.
The South Carolina Aquarium has metrics on litter.
So that's, they're one and the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're same, maybe the same metrics, they're not the same group.
Yeah,
actually they are. That's who Susan works with.
I know, but she's getting them separate.
Oh, is she?
Okay. And the aquarium encompasses a lot more than.
So it could be two different.
Okay. Maybe.
The workshop. We're going to talk about the workshop. I wrote a note about, and I'm not sure that we came up with anything here, but about the water bottle.
That was just one of
just kind of future thought.
Uh-huh.
Anything I missed for next month?
And just that we're going to talk about goals for water quality and climate action.
Yep. Okay. Goals, and then takeaways from the Beach Advocates meeting.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
All right. Got it.
Okay.
I think you sent us some information about the turf stuff.
Thanks. Yeah, I can get you. Let me know what you want. I can get
some information to educate the committee, yeah. All of us.
Not. It's got to be less than 1,000 pages. I bet you guys have.
I mean, there's
lockers full.
There's industry groups that have tons of testing.
Let's start with less than 10 pages.
EPA even has it. But, yeah, I'll get you some.
I think the EPA might be good, too. third party disinterested.
I mean, they're interested, but not.
California actually pays homeowners $2 a square foot to convert their natural grass to artificial.
From a water drought, until they
run out of money again.
Right. I mean, you don't want the whole world to be paved in artificial turf, right?
There's pros and cons. There's pros and cons to turf, just like everything else. I mean, the biggest issue right now is not turf; it's just microplastics in general. Anything plastic's been taken a black eye. Everything is good. Everything is bad.
I just wanted to, Douglas, you had said that under citizens' comments, I think Susan Hill Smith is coming next time also to talk. Isn't she coming next time to talk? Didn't she say that tonight?
I'll ask her about the metrics. I'll ask her if she wants to talk.
Yeah, I think she.
She said
that.
She said that she was going to come and talk about. Something, I don't remember what it was now. I got an email from her. So she wanted to come in March to talk about.
What was it about?
I don't remember because it was in that email and I just. And she wanted to. There would be.
Oh, the conservation station?
That's what it was.
I'll ask her too if she's ready.
Okay. And then, so the next meeting is going to be on March the 9th, 2023, at 4 o'clock. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
So is there a second?
Thank you all.
I'll break it at 5:30.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy.